You can open your Bibles to John chapter 1 if you want to follow along when I get to the text. We're here tonight because of something crazy, hard, impossible to believe, outlandish, whoever would have thought. And I'm not talking about the virgin birth. The virgin birth really isn't that hard to believe. Most people believe something that's just as miraculous as that. Take the thought, the idea, the belief that we're here because nothing exploded, and eventually out of the soup, something crawled. Okay, in that scenario, in that theory called Big Bang and evolution, because it's a theory, you can't prove it, neither can I prove to you that God is, that He spoke everything into existence, but it's a theory, can't be proven, but in that view, think about it. The first person didn't come from a man and a woman. Not sure how the first person came, wasn't it, he, she, or whatever it was, but in that scenario, you didn't have a man and a woman who, you know, and had a kid. So, even in that belief system, there's something to believe that's just as miraculous or crazy hard to believe as virgin birth. No, what's truly amazing, mind-blowing about what we're celebrating is that the perfect, spotless, almighty, all-powerful Maker became one of us. I like that song for a number of reasons, the one we just sang, but the lyrics, every verse, what kind of king would leave his throne in heaven to make this earth his home? While men seek fame and great renown, in loneliness our king comes down. Would you leave your home in this country and this country to go live in a little slapped together cardboard hut in Haiti? Been in Haiti before the earthquake. Been there. And yet, if I were to leave my nice rebuild over here in Coffee Park and move to Haiti instead of just spending 2 months there and move to Haiti and live in the squalor and wait in line to get water out of a pipe or off of the side of a hill amidst garbage, that still doesn't compare to the contrast and the reality of what took place when God became a man. There's nothing in this world that we know that we would exchange places that can compare to that. You left the sound of angels' praise to come for men with unkind ways. And by this baby's helplessness, the power of nations is laid to rest. We seek praise, adoration. He left it. Only to be followed because people wanted more food. They wanted to be healed. And when trouble arose, they fled. What kind of king would come so small from glory to a humble stall? That dirty manger is, we don't like this part, my heart too. Yeah. Nothing is as mind-blowing, beyond what we would ever think of or conceive, than God becoming one of us. And not to live out some self-gratifying reality of His own, but to bring God the Father glory through obedience and to save a people for Himself and bring them to God the Father. That, we don't come up with that. We don't come up with that because it's beyond our thinking, our thought, or our reality. There was a time, actually. You don't remember it. Neither do I. There was a time when the idea of flight was laughed at. When stepping foot on the moon was laughed at. Why? It was beyond everyone's realm of thinking of possibility. Well, God becoming a man is far beyond our realm of thinking or possibility, but it happened. Whether you believe it or not, it happened. And that is what is amazing beyond even the virgin birth. I've already mentioned why he came briefly, but I want to use one figure of speech to explain why he came. I'm not making it up. It comes from Scripture. It comes up in Scripture in a number of places. I just want to look briefly at 1 John tonight. Not 1 John, John chapter 1. Typical Christmas readings are Luke and Matthew when you have the narrative of the story. Well, John chapter 1 talks about the birth that we're celebrating tonight also, but from a different angle. And it uses a particular analogy or metaphor, figure, symbol that I want to latch on to tonight. If you want to listen, listen. If you want to follow along, I'm in John chapter 1. I'm going to read first 18 verses and then focus on verse 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Why did God become man? Verse 9, enlightened. The light which enlightens. That figure, that metaphor, that image of light. That captures why God became man. So, there's no candles in Scripture about lighting candles or anything, but we light them as a reminder of... of light. Like that. We light the white one when he's born. We lit the red ones one at a time. Glad his light didn't flicker or fail. It worked before. On a leash, you want to do it? Anyways, we don't have to light candles, but we do. And though the candle lighting is in the Scripture, light is. Light is. From the beginning, there was darkness. God said, "Let there be light." But then we filled it with darkness. And then God became a man to enlighten. What does that mean? I've heard of the Enlightenment. I think I studied that once. I forgot what it was. My eyes are closed. I was sleeping. What does that mean, to enlighten? Well, what happens when light comes on? You can see, right? It reveals. My son's been fond of telling me lately, if anyone says they're afraid of the dark, he says, no, you're not. No one's afraid of the dark. You're afraid of what's in the dark. You're afraid of what you can't see, what you think might be there. That's true. Splitting hairs, but it's true. And that's what the light does, right? It reveals. It reveals what was not seen, what was hidden, what was veiled by darkness. And simply put, by becoming a man, God the Son revealed two things. He revealed two things. The first is that there was darkness. Not the actual kind where the lights are off and you try to light a candle or a fire or whatever, but that there's darkness in the hearts of man. That means man and woman, mankind, people. Now you agree with that as long as I'm talking with those people over there, right? We agree with that when we're talking about big corporations, politicians, dictators in North Korea, the people on death row. But have you ever lied? You ever just been so with someone you just hated them? You ever want something that you weren't able to have and it was someone else's? You ever said, now I'm not saying this, though I'm saying it. Okay. God damn it. You ever said Jesus Christ and you weren't mentioning His name, but you stubbed your toe or hit your thumb with a hammer or burned yourself? Either it's light or it's dark. We're either perfect like God, or we're not. We come up with the sliding scale. We come up with the comparison. We come up with the standard. Well, at least I'm not like, and at least I'm not like, and at least I'm not like. And you can say that as long as you say, well, I'm not like God. Because we're not. Not one of us. In the passage I read, His own rejected Him. Who didn't cry out, crucify Him? Who can stand there and not throw the first stone? Light reveals that there was darkness. The darkness is in each one of us. Our hearts. I said this before. Those of you who know me and come here are probably tired of me using this example, but it's a true one. Typical first word out of a child's mouth is no. And they start to learn multiple words. Usually it's gimme. Mine. Where does that come from? Environment. Training. Nope. Came from mom and dad. And theirs came from their mom and dad and their mom and dad and 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 mom and dad right down to Adam. Ever since. See, we all agree on the symptoms. There's wars. We don't want them. There's disease, we don't want it. There's corruption, oppression, drug addiction. It's bad, no good, we don't want it. We all agree on the symptoms. We just don't agree on the cause. But Jesus revealed the cause. He's the one that said, oh, you think you're good to go? You think you meet God's standard? You've never killed anyone? Well, good for you. He didn't say it like that. I'm the sarcastic one. You didn't kill anyone, but have you ever hated anyone? Oh, you've never committed adultery. Ever lust? He made it clear. The problem is not the person next to you, the person in power, the ruling class, the underclass, the foreigners, the locals, the unlearned. The problem is in each and every one of us. If you were walking down a very dark path at night, one where you couldn't actually see and you were just groping your way, and then someone turned a giant spotlight on, you would see the danger you were dealing with. Hopefully you'd also see a way out. The question is, would you take it? Not only did Jesus, the God-man, as the light of the world, enlighten everyone by showing us our darkness, He also showed us the way. The way to know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's Jesus' words in His prayer in John 17:3. The whole Gospel of John is all after one point, one thing. It's here in this introduction, in this beginning, that He's the light that has come into the world. Verse 12, to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. See, when the lights came on, the problem's revealed. For His original hearers, when Jesus was walking and talking and making lots of fishes out of one fish and healing the blind, they thought the problem was the Romans. Politics is the problem. And the upper class of Jews who had the law and were able to read, they thought the problem was the lower class, and they would scoff at them. And Jesus said, no. The problem is in each and every one of you. The whole Gospel of John, which records a number of Jesus' miracles, is all written. 21 chapters is all written for one point, for one reason. And that's made clear in the introduction, but also in chapter 20, verse 30. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So by becoming a man, the lights went on. And the fact that we're in darkness and that we have a great need is made clear. The question is, will we admit it? Will we admit it? And take the path. Take the way out. Accept the remedy. This babe, born of a virgin. The last verse in that song, that dirty manger is my heart too. I'll make it a royal throne for you. Fact of the matter is, when we believe that this Jewish son's carpenter, right around what we call 0 AD, of course it's zero, is it AD or BC, but zero. This Jewish son's carpenter wasn't just a man. And he was born of a woman, like everyone is, but without an earthly father. Because he's actually God. Fully God and fully man. Who came not to just, hey man, I think this looks fun down there, let me give it a shot. Like in Greek mythology. But to make the Father known. To make eternal life, which again, his definition in John 17:3 is to know, present tense, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Without that, we're in darkness. Without it, we're in darkness. And we're afraid of it. Oh no, we're not afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what's in the dark. That's right. We're afraid that one day every thought and intention of our hearts will be revealed. It will. It will. But, when we receive this light, Jesus, the Word become flesh, He's answered for us. We celebrate His birth now, but He was born to die. He came to die. Philippians chapter 2 is included in the scripture reading the children did tonight. Not a typical Christmas Eve's verse, is it? He became a man, was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's why He came. Because that was all part of the package of Him being light. To reveal our need. And to provide for that need. Himself. Had to become one of us. And He did. And even in that, He endured something far greater than if you got rid of everything you have here in America and moved to Haiti. But He did it. He did the Father's will perfectly. Which no one can do. But He did. He is the light who enlightens everyone. 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 Is or will be enlightened by Him. When He comes, everyone will be running. Because the evil, the darkness in their hearts will be laid bare. It'll be made plain and revealed. But if prior to His coming, to use the words of chapter 1, to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right. He gave the right. We don't have it. We don't earn it. He gives it to become children of God. Now I want to tell you a little something funny. Something strange, funny, like weird, funny. Tonight's a night where a lot of people, usually young people, don't sleep very well. I'm praying for your sleep tonight. I'm either praying that you will not sleep, that you will not be able to rest, that you will be in turmoil and conflict if your faith isn't in Jesus. If you haven't received the light of the world, if you've never said, wow, I may not have done what He's done or she's done or they do, but I am not like God. Help. Jesus, I believe. I pray that you won't sleep tonight if you're not right with God. Not because you wonder about what presents you're going to get in the morning or how it's going to go tomorrow or your whatever, but because of that. And if you already know Him, I'm praying for your sleep tonight. Time of year's weird. Brings up all kinds of feelings and emotions, insecurities, sadness, losses are remembered, worries, fears. I pray that if you know the light of the world, if Jesus is your Savior, you've trusted Him as God's provision, that you'd go to bed with that on your mind and you would sleep like a log. I was going to say baby, but I've had a number of those. Well, my wife had them, but I was around. They don't sleep very well. The logs don't budge. I pray that you'd sleep tonight because you are with God and you have hope. There's no need to be afraid of the dark or what's in it. Because you know the light of the world. And I know it's weird, but that's what I'm praying for each and every one of you. That you either won't be able to sleep till you're right with God. Or, if you're right with God, what else does anything matter? And that you'd sleep well into what we call Christmas and the celebration of flesh. Or the word becoming flesh, God becoming man. Which is more mind-blowing than a virgin birth. Join me in prayer. Father, I confess I've had my share of sleepless nights in life. Because my mind wasn't stayed upon you. Father, thank you that we do not need to live life in the dark. We don't need to hide the reality of our own hearts or hide from anything. And we can't hide from you. Thank you that you sent your Son and that He willingly came to make you known. That also includes making ourselves known to us. And while that part is painful, while that part is shameful, Jesus gives us the right through His work, through His obedience, His life, His death, and His resurrection to be your children who can come before you boldly, freely in the name of Jesus. Lay our worries and our anxieties at your feet, knowing that you care for us beyond our full understanding, beyond our wildest imagination. Father, thank you that the light has come. And I pray for each one in this room that you would tonight either grant no rest or rest. Father, reveal the need for you to those who have not acknowledged it, that they would truly celebrate Christmas. To those of us who have believed, who have received Christ, Father, we rest in knowing that we have been given the right to be your children. We know you. We have hope. And come what may in this life, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, grant this, I ask, according to your lavish, abounding kindness, grant this to each one here tonight. Loved ones at home, not well enough to make it. Grant this to our great blessing, joy, and to your glory. That we would all wake up tomorrow or get up from bed having not slept and celebrate God having become a man. That we could know you and Him and no longer live in darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.